Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Chapter 1, we are continuing our series in this book, and I want to start out by asking a series of questions this morning. What is the objective of a financial investment broker? What is his objective? What's the objective of an athlete? What is the objective of someone pursuing an academic degree? And what is the objective of someone involved in a relationship? Now, you might be tempted to say the answer to all of these questions is money. Except maybe the last one, unless you're dating a millionaire, okay? But, you know, as you think about these questions and when you look at these, you know, yes, an investment broker wants to make money, but the way he makes money is he has to study, he has to learn how to read the market, to know the trends, he has to grow as an investment broker so that he can be successful and make money. When you take a look at the athlete, now, you know, many athletes, you know, especially nowadays in pro sports, they want to make money, but how do you make money? You have to become better at your sport. You have to become faster, stronger, bigger. If you're golfing, you need to be a better golfer. You need to become a better tennis player, a better swimmer, a better football player. You're trying to become better because the better you perform, the more money it results. In the area of education, you want to get good grades so that you can get a high-paying job. You can have a good job. But if you do not apply those things and grow in the knowledge that you learn, it's not going to help you get a job or keep a job. And so you want to keep growing in your career if you're going to continue to see promotions and pay raises. And in the area of relationships, you want to grow in that area. You want to grow in that relationship. If you're single, you want to grow in your knowledge of that person. You want to determine, are we compatible? Are we headed in the same direction? Are our goals the same? Are our values the same? Because if my values and goals are going in this direction, and the person I'm dating is going in that direction, you're not going to have a close relationship. And even once you are married, you want to grow in closeness so that you're relationship doesn't get cold and complacent. How many want an exciting, alive, vibrant marriage? It's about half of you. I do marriage counseling for those that need help, so. Yet you want your marriage to be hot, to be great, to be wonderful, and to do that, you have to keep growing. The common element of all four of these, the objective of these, is that we cannot become complacent. We must grow if you're going to be effective and successful as a financial investment broker, in a relationship, as an athlete, in your education. We must grow. And the Apostle Paul knew the importance for Christ followers to be growing and developing in their relationship with God. In fact, he told the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 28, he says, "That's the objective of my ministry, is that you grow." He says, "We tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ." How many of you are perfect in your relationship to Christ? No takers. Well, that's good. I'm glad, because none of us are perfect. But Paul says, this is our goal, to present people perfect, that they keep growing and maturing. I want people to grow, is what Paul was saying. If you take out your notes this morning, on the back of your bulletin, it says, the born-again objective, our objective as a born-again Christian, is to grow with God. That is our goal. That's our objective, is to grow with God. Our objective is to get closer to Jesus, and Paul is going to reveal to us, how do we do that? Starting in verse 9, Paul gives us a key to growth. It says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Paul says, "I am praying for you. I'm praying for you to grow." And here's the thing, in your notes, Prayer is a key to growth. If you want to grow as a Christian, you need to be a person of prayer. If you want your spouse, if you want your family members, your kids, your friends to be growing as Christ followers, then you need to be praying for them. You pray for yourself and you pray for other people. Now, maybe some of you are here this morning and you're not a Christ follower, you're not a Christian. Maybe you haven't been to church in a long time. I want you to know we're really glad you're here. It's great to have you. But you might be thinking, you know what, Craig? I don't really buy into prayer. I don't believe in prayer. Well, I just want to encourage you to give prayer a shot. I have seen God change lives through prayer. I've seen people be supernaturally healed through the power of prayer. I have seen God miraculously provide food for people that didn't have any food. They woke up and they went to bed at night with no food in their house. They woke up the next morning and there was food in their fridge. God supernaturally provided. I've seen God deliver people from alcohol and drugs as the result of prayer. I just received a letter from our missionary, Isaac Olivares, in inner city Denver, and he shares the story of a couple that he recently performed a wedding for, Ray and Sylvia, and he talks about how God delivered them from drugs, delivered them from going to prison. He restored their relationship and they're following Christ. Prayer changes things. And sometimes we try to change other people. Oh man, if my spouse would just get her act together. If my husband would just get his act, if my kids would get their act together, you know, then it would be great. And we try to change them instead of praying and saying, God, you change them. Instead of talking to them, why don't you talk to God about them? Okay? Prayer is a key for growth. So develop a strong prayer life and pray for other people. If you want to grow, then you have to make prayer a central part of your life. So the question is, what do you pray for? God, help them grow. Amen. Well, you're in luck because Paul says there are four things to pray for. If you want to grow, he says, these are the four things I'm praying for you for. I want you to grow to be perfect in relationship with Christ. Here's four things I'm praying for you for. And so in your notes, we're going to start reading in verse 9. The first thing, if you need of growth, if you want to grow, is a revelation of truth. A revelation of truth. This is what verse 9 says. Paul says, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This verse is talking about truth. We need to know what is true, what is right for us to grow. Let's say someone tells you, let's say you have some plants, and somebody tells you, if you put Roundup on your plants, it will help them to grow. Okay? If you believe that, what's going to happen to your plants? They're going to die. You see, what you believe determines what happens. And so if you believe that putting Roundup on your plants is going to help them grow healthy and strong, it's going to result in destruction. If you believe that eating a box of Twinkies and drinking a 2-liter bottle of Dr. Pepper and sitting on the sofa is the road to health, you're not going to be on the road to health. It's going to destroy you. What you believe determines if you will grow. And so we need to believe the right thing. We need a revelation of truth. And Paul hits upon three applications of truth in the believer's life, and I wrote them down for you so that you could have them and you won't have to write really fast as we go through this. But Paul says, I'm praying for the knowledge of his will. Paul wants you to have truth for what God wants you to do. In the big decisions of life, who do you marry? What's your career? For our young people, our graduates that we recognized last Sunday, those are the big decisions. What is God's will for your life? But it's not just those big things. God has a will and a plan for you each and every day. God, what's your will for me today? What is the truth that you want me to live out today? How do you want me to serve you, to honor you, to impact others? What's your will for me? That the knowledge of his will. Paul goes on to say, and he talks about having all wisdom. Wisdom is the biblical truth of how to live your life. How do you manage your finances? How do you treat your enemies? How do you deal with discouragement? How do you deal with conflict? Wisdom shows you how to live your life. And Paul says, I'm praying for all wisdom. You have this revelation of truth of how to live your life. He then talks about spiritual understanding. Understanding is important because that is the truth of what's happening to you and around you. And it's believing what God says instead of what the devil says. There have been times when my kids have said, well, I'm stupid. I can't do this. How many of you ever heard your kids say something like that? And they defeat themselves. You know what? That is the lie of the enemy. And the devil wants them, he wants you to feel you're stupid, that you're depressed, that you can't do anything, that you're worthless in value, don't have any value. And so if you believe that, then it will not cause you to grow. And Paul says, I want you to have spiritual understanding to know if the devil's speaking a lie to you and to know what God's truth is so you can choose truth and you can walk in the right way. Having a revelation of truth is vitally important. You and I need to be praying, God, show me your will. Give me understanding for this day. Give me wisdom. Show me how to live. That is what's wrapped up in a revelation of truth. Pray it for yourself, your spouse, your kids, your mom, your dad, your friends, your family members. Pray for a revelation of truth in your life and the life of others. That is the first key for growth. Okay, the second key to growth, the second thing to pray for, Paul says, is obedience based upon value and connection to Christ. Obedience based upon value and connection to Christ. Once there was a mother who had a very rebellious little boy. His name was Billy. And it seemed like no matter what the mother told Billy, it was always a fight. He always wanted to do his own way. Do his own thing. And there was one day, it was an especially trying day. The mother was just really at the end of her rope, and finally she said, Billy, just go ahead and do whatever you want. Go ahead and disobey that. Go ahead and disobey that. Do whatever you want, Billy. Disobey that command. Do you get it? We can't be disobedient. I hope you're not like Billy. Because if you do whatever you want, it's going to destroy you. And Paul says in verse 10 that you need an obedience based upon value and connection to Christ. Look at what he says. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If we break that verse down, you think about it, and it all sums up the concept of obedience. If I am obeying Christ, then I walk through life in a way that's worthy of his sacrifice for my death. If I'm obeying Christ, I am fully pleasing him. If I'm obeying Jesus, then I'll be fruitful in every good work. That's what God wants us to do. Why should we walk worthy? Because Jesus counted us worthy. Jesus placed value on you and me. Do you realize he gave his life? Would you die for your son or your daughter? If you saw a car coming at them, would you jump in the way and push him out of the way? How many would do that for your kids? I think many of us would. Now let me ask you this. Complete stranger, and you see them, are you as likely to jump in front of the car for them? Or did you say, hey, get out of the way? I mean, it's different when you put value on someone. And Jesus valued you so much that he gave his life for us. And when we walk worthy of Christ, when we place value on him, then we're going to want to be fully pleasing to him. I love my wife, and I like to please her. Why do I like to please her? Because that's love. If I didn't care about her, I wouldn't care about pleasing her. You know, I don't care about what my neighbors like. I mean, I do a little bit, but because I love and value and honor my wife, I want to please her. And that's what Paul's saying. I am praying that you walk fully pleasing to Christ, that your whole life pleases God because you place value and worth on Him. And then Paul talks about being fruitful in every good work. The term fruitful implies that we're connected. Jesus said in John's Gospel, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The vine and the branch, they're connected in an intimate relationship. And because of that connection, they bear fruit. And if we're going to bear fruit, we need a connection to Jesus. If I'm going to be fruitful in having the fruit of the spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, then I need that connection with Christ. And as I have that connection, it's going to produce obedience. You see, obedience isn't doing a checklist of do's and don'ts. I do this, I do that, I do this and that. No, it's because I love Jesus so much and I want to please Him. I want to honor Him. I'm going to do the right things in my life. And the way you do that is you've got to be a person of the Word. A few moments ago in our service, there was that prophecy that talked about the plumb line of the Word of God. We need to have that revelation of truth that Paul's praying for, and then we need to do it. How many times have you known the right thing to do and you don't do it? You see the speed limit says 65, but you're late, so you go 75. 77. Yes, my son just got a ticket because he wanted to get someplace quick. And he's paying the consequences for it. You see, you may know the truth. I've got the revelation, but are you obeying it? Paul says, I'm praying for a revelation. I'm praying for the obedience to follow it. Those are two key components to growth. The revelation of truth and obedience based out of value and connection to Christ. And then there's a third thing Paul talks about. If you want to grow, take a look at verse 11. He prays that they're strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Paul prays for them to have the power of God. That's the number three in your notes. Pray for the power of God in your life. Paul knows that we cannot live the Christian life in our own power. We cannot effectively win lost souls without the power of God. We can't make a difference in people's lives without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. What does God's power do for us? We give you three things in there. God's power gives you power to walk through anything. Whatever trial, whatever difficulty you have, God's power helps you walk through it. We touched on this last week when we talked about the Bourne Ultimatum. We talked about how God wants to produce change, and one of those changes is eyes of faith. And we looked at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where it says, "And I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." I can walk through anything. I can handle anything if I have God's strength. And so when you have God's power, you can walk through anything. The next thing is you have power to witness. You have power to be a light for Jesus Christ and to tell others about Him. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." This is Pentecost Sunday. It's a Sunday we remember when the Holy Spirit came down on the believers and they were baptized, they were filled with the Spirit, and Peter, who 50 days before denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times, now stands up in front of 3,000 people and testifies in front of them that you killed Jesus, you're sinners, you need to repent and get right with God. When we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it gives us power. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to strongly seek after it and don't give up until you receive it. I know some people, they pray a few times or maybe they prayed several times and they don't receive the baptism and they don't strive for it anymore. Well, it's not for me. It's not for me. I guess, you know, God doesn't have it for me. And they give up. You need the power to be a witness for God. And then the last thing that it does for us, the power of God, it gives us power to work. It gives us power to work. If you want to see supernatural results, you and I need supernatural power. I pray that when I preach, God, you do something in the hearts and lives of people. Because here's the thing, I know I can't, my words do not give you hope. The Holy Spirit has to give you hope. He has to do something in your life. When you're discouraged and you're down, it's only God that can bring comfort as I minister. As I'm preaching, I'm saying, God, you convict of sin. God, I can't, my words can't convict anyone of sin. And that's what we need to pray for. Our food pantry, as they're ministering, they need the power of God that those people receive the comfort and conviction and the encouragement that God has for them. They got to be praying and saying, God, whatever you want to do in their lives, you do it. And our worship team, as they're ministering, they have to be praying, God, be lifting people up through song. May the words that they see on the screen become part of the fabric of their heart. Our children's church, our nursery, as they're teaching and giving kids the word of God, they've got to be saying, God, you've got to do something that we can't. We have to rely on the power of God. If we're going to be a church that grows and sees God impact the kingdom, we need to pray for the power of God in our lives. And that's what Paul's saying. You want to grow? You need first a what? Let's review this. What is the first thing you need? A revelation of truth, okay? What's the second thing you need to pray for? Obedience. What's the next thing you need to pray for? Power. All right, truth, obedience, power, T-O-P, top. If you want to be on top, you want to grow to the top, you need T-O-P, truth, obedience, power, and the letter S is going to be sovereignty. The last thing Paul says, you need to accept God's sovereignty in your life. When God does something that doesn't line up with your plan, doesn't line up with what you think he should be doing, then we need to accept it. Because I guarantee you there will be times in your life when God does not make sense. There'll be times when you want God to do one thing and he does another. And then you're tempted to disobey. Do you realize you can even obey God but not be submissive to him? Jonah is a great example of it. Jonah started out disobeying God. Do you know how Jonah ended up in a whale? Do you know why he ended up in the great fish? Because he was running from God. He got on a ship and he was sailing to Tarshish. He was sailing in the opposite direction. God told him to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. Now the Assyrians were some of the most brutal, savage people on the planet. They were very, very cruel, and they attacked the northern kingdom of Israel. They killed men, women, and children. Their practices, the Assyrians, if they saw a pregnant woman, they would take their sword, they'd slit her stomach, they'd yank the baby out, throw it to the ground, and leave the mom there to bleed and die to death as she's watching her child die. That's how savage the Assyrians were. And the Assyrians attacked the northern kingdom of Israel. And Jonah knows this, and he is bitter, and he wants God to judge the Assyrians. But God says, no, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach repentance. And Jonah says, I don't want that to happen because I know God is merciful, and he is long-suffering, and he is gracious, and he'll forgive them. You see that in Jonah chapter 4. He says, God, this is what you are. And so Jonah says, I'm not going to go. He runs. He gets on a ship. And that's where the storm comes, and he's thrown overboard, and God sends a fish, and he swallows him up, and the fish swims around all the way over to where the Assyrians are, and he spits them out on land, so he's got a close walk, only a, you know, several miles, but he's a lot closer than he was. And now Jonah says, okay, I'll obey God, but I'm not going to like it. I'm not accepting the sovereignty of God. And Jonah obeys, but he has a stinking attitude the whole time. And it's hot, and I'm out here, and I'm preaching to these guys, and this is miserable. And God brings up a plant and shades him. But then a worm comes along and eats the plant, and the plant dies. And Jonah is so ticked off at God. And God says, you're more ticked off about a plant than about people. Can't you accept what I'm trying to do in your life, Jonah, what I'm doing in their life? If you want to grow as a believer, you and I need to accept the sovereignty of God. And that's what Paul prays for. Take a look at verse 11, the last part of verse 11. Paul says, I'm praying for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of life. How many of you say you need more patience in your life? You need to endure suffering. You need to suffer long. You need more joy. You need to give thanks when you go through problems. You know, when you get that speeding ticket. When your car breaks down, you get a bad report from the doctor. You need joy and thanksgiving and trust of God. How many need more of God's sovereignty in your life? I know I do. And that's what Paul's praying for. He's praying for this. When we don't understand why God is allowing this to happen to me or to my loved one, I need to say, God, help me to accept your sovereignty. When it seems like you're being cruel, when it feels like you've abandoned me, when it feels like you've told me no when the answer should be yes, help me to give thanks that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for me. Give me patient dependence on you to obey and do what is right, even if I don't feel like it. Help me to suffer long and not short and give up on you. Help me to have long suffering and go through this in the right way. You say, Craig, how can we do that? When my life is falling apart, when it feels like God has left me and forsaken me, how can I do that? It's because of the last part of verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. We're going to heaven. We're going to heaven, and nobody can take that away from us. Everything that happens to you and I on planet Earth is just a short blip. It does not impact your soul. It does not impact your eternal destiny. And so you can give thanks and praise to God because He's working everything for good. You're going to heaven. There is no problem you face that keeps you out of heaven. There is no financial difficulty, no health issue, no relational issue, no personal issue that keeps you out of heaven. I'm glad my associate pastor is excited about that. He's saying, praise the Lord. What about the rest of you? You're going to heaven. So have patience, have long suffering, give thanks with all joy. You're going to heaven. You're a partaker of the inheritance of God. You're going to live with Jesus forever. Accept His sovereignty in your life. You want to get to the top of your growth? Have that truth, that revelation of truth. Obey God based out of your love and your value for Him. Ask for His power to go through life, to walk through life, to work through life, to witness through life, and say, God, help me to accept your sovereignty. I read something this week, I'm trying to remember, it was on Facebook, it was like, you know the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change and da-da-da-da. Well, this person said, God, grant me the serenity to do that and the knowledge to understand when people are being stupid and not to act on that so that I end up in jail. So sometimes people can be our biggest source of agitation and frustration. And we lose the joy and the patience and the kindness and the gentleness and the fruit of the Spirit in our life.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.